Welcome to the Women in Family Law podcast. I'm Hannah Markham, the chair of the association. Women in Family Law connects, encourages, and promotes professional women across the field of family law in England and Wales. We offer advice, support, and mentoring, and of course, these podcasts.
So welcome, Claire. It's absolutely great to see you today and fabulous to have you on the Women in Family Law podcast. We're sort of continuing with the theme and talking a bit today, a bit more about supervision after hearing from Gillian Bishop, but also talking to you in your role as a leading breakup and divorce coach and author of Breakup from Crisis to Confidence, described as the essential guide for anyone facing a sudden separation. So Claire, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Suzanne. It's great to be here.
So just going back to the beginning, what led you to becoming a divorce coach?
Well, it all started really with my own first divorce. I've been divorced twice now. My first divorce was very sudden. It was completely out of the blue, shock. We had two children. They were 3 and 1 at the time. And my husband came home from work. I noticed he was a bit quiet. So halfway through Holby City, I asked him if he was okay. And he said, not really, I've been seeing someone else.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how my first marriage ended. And it was a complete bolt from the blue. I had absolutely no idea that there was anything wrong. And so my whole world kind of crashed around me at that point. I see my life as before that moment and after that moment, essentially. Lots and lots of questions in my head. You know, why is this happening to me? Are you leaving me on my own with two children? How am I going to cope? What's my financial situation look like? Are the boys, you know, all of those kind of questions, the boys going to be okay? And it was how I then dealt with all of that that led me into what I'm doing now, because I decided really early on that, first of all, I didn't want to sink. I wanted to swim. And I didn't want this to define me, although, of course, now it does, but in a different way to what I ever imagined. And I wanted to survive and create a life where my children and I could all flourish. And so it was the steps that I took to achieve that then brought friends coming to me when they had problems. I would spend a lot of time speaking with friends on the phone, in coffee shops. So I ended up doing this role kind of unofficially. And I was a lawyer at the time working for a big city firm in insolvency law. And it was, I think it was 9 years after my divorce that I started thinking I really would like to do something different to this. So I went to see a coach myself and we worked out what my skills are. And it became really obvious quite quickly that I'd been doing this in my spare time. And I wanted to do this to give other people hope that they could get through something traumatic, that they could survive, they could thrive as well, and that they could be resilient and that life could be better again. So I see myself as kind of offering that hope and that motivation in my role. And then I remarried and I got divorced again a couple of years ago. This time it was my choice. So I've seen what divorce feels like and felt what divorce feels like from both sides, if you like. So now I work with people who are contemplating divorce, going through divorce, or actually even post-divorce. I think the client I've had who's been the longest post-divorce was 10 years. Wow. And was still struggling. So I can work with people at all stages. So that's really what the story of how I started.
That's absolutely fascinating. Sort of from an insolvency practitioner to a voluntary divorce coach, informally, that you didn't even know you were a divorce coach, then formally to a divorce coach. I'd just like to share with you that I have had cancer and I feel a bit the same in terms of not merely surviving, but thriving after that and how it's built my own resilience. So really interesting journey. Thank you very much. So can you tell me a bit about your philosophy and how you help clients?
Yeah, of course. So the big thing for me is that I truly believe it isn't what happens to you that makes the difference. It's what you do with what happens to you. And so I believe, you know, you can make really small choices, even in the very early days of a separation, that will make a big difference later on. So like my intention, for example, in my first divorce, to be dignified at all times. You know, I felt like I had dignity tattooed across my forehead, but it meant that every time I had to see my ex-husband, I dressed in clothes that helped me feel good. I was really careful about how I communicated. I put the children first, and that intention really kept me on track. And the other thing is that I really believe that if you focus on what you can control rather than what you can't, you will feel much more empowered. So I focused on all the things that I could control. So how I showed up, how I behaved, what I did, what kind of parent I was on my time. And even small things, you know, what I wore, what I listened to, what I watched on television, where I went shopping, who I spent my time with, and how I told myself the story of what was happening to me. And ultimately, I really believe there's opportunity in divorce. There's opportunity to create a new and different life, because we always have choice about how we respond to everything that happens to us. That those beliefs underpin everything that I do.
Thank you so much. And so how do you see your work as a coach sitting alongside that of family solicitors? So I'm sure you get in touch with a lot. How does it work?
Yes, I've got a big network of solicitors that I work alongside and talk to. So I see divorce as very much an emotional decision. Certainly when I made the decision to ask for a divorce, it was based on emotion, and it has legal and financial consequences, and it can be really traumatic. So that it's commonly accepted now that divorce is possibly the second most traumatic thing you can go through in life, next to losing a loved one. And I believe you need support through that. So you need support legally, you need support financially, and you need support emotionally. And I think it's that emotional support that often makes the difference between clients who can make really clear, informed choices that aren't made through a fog of emotion, and clients who really struggle. So I've been talking about this ever since I started, you know, 6 years ago with family lawyers. When I started, lots of family lawyers hadn't ever really heard of a divorce coach. So I spent a lot of time explaining how my role helps you to do your roles better and more clearly with clients who are able to make those decisions, because the decisions those clients are making now will affect the rest of their lives. So it's really important that you can make those decisions clearly and without a fog of emotion sort of getting in the way.
So since you started your business in 2017, what do you think has changed in how family lawyers and coaches work together for clients?
Well, I think we're working in a much more joined up way. You know, there are some solicitors that I work with really regularly with their clients, and there weren't very many divorce coaches around in 2017, and there are lots more now, and there are specialist training centres set up to train coaches. And I think with the growth of things like more collaborative practice that's quite common in Australia and America, with solicitors and coaches and therapists and family practitioners and financial advisors working together as a team, we can really offer a joined up service to clients who, you know, I see divorce as being, it's a time when, if you imagine your life's on a blanket and the blanket gets thrown up into the air, and some bits of it will land in front of you, some behind, some back on the blanket, some totally over somewhere else where you can't even see them. You know, it affects every area of your life. And so you need a team of people to help you to navigate your way through that. And I think that the family law world is really growing in that aspect. The understanding of the holistic approach to supporting people through divorce is really growing. And I mean, for me, that's brilliant. And it's what I wish was there when I went through my own first divorce, definitely. Yeah,
I think you're right. I mean, it's much more integrated, and people work more collaboratively together in an interdisciplinary way. And that's something that has definitely evolved. I mean, first of all, out of court dispute resolution is really now very much on the map. And then secondly, how people work together. I totally agree with what you're saying. What would you say would be top tips for anyone facing a divorce or feeling distressed in the early days of a separation?
And there's a few. I think, you know, number one, look at getting a really good support network in place, as like we've just been talking about. You know, have the right people for the right things at the right time. You don't have to do this on your own. I think that extends out even to, you know, to friends and family. Be really careful who you're sharing everything with. Spend time with people who help you to feel better, you know, radiators rather than drains. I think also set your intention. Think about how you want to show up in this process. So for me, there was the dignity at all times in my first divorce. My second divorce, I just wanted to steer my own ship steadily through. So how do you want to feel about what happens now when you look back in 5 years' time? Because in 5 years' time, this will be a small moment in your life. It doesn't feel like that right now, but in the future it will be. And so I think it's really important to think about how you want to show up in that. And then I'd say focus on what you can control, your part. Try not to focus on making your ex different or making your ex understand what you're trying to say. Focus just on yourself, what you can do to help yourself and what you can control, your part in communication, your part in how you behave, all of those things. And then take it one step at a time, one day at a time. It can be really overwhelming, as you know, going through a divorce. So if you can identify what's the one step I need to take today and just take that one step, when you look back after a week or a month or a year, those steps will have added up to massive leaps forward.
In my role as a family sister, obviously, I've been through a number of divorces with lots of clients, and I fully endorse what you're saying. And thank you for being so clear and yet concise in relation to those points. Really, really helpful. So I understand you're also trained as a family law supervisor. What led you to take that path? And this is really interesting because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, I spoke to Gillian Bishop in the last couple of weeks, and she's just put her podcast up, or rather we put her podcast up. I've trained as a family law supervisor. So I think really interesting to hear from you what led you to that path.
Two things, really. So working alongside family lawyers, I see the impact that some of the stories that you hear can have on you. And I understand it because I hear those stories too myself in my other role as a coach for those clients. As a coach, I have supervision. But as lawyers, you don't always have supervision or reflective practice as something that is a matter of course. And I see it really as an opportunity to reflect, to be heard, to talk through perhaps what your options and choices might be. So I bring a kind of coaching aspect into my supervision as well, which brings a different kind of therapeutic approach, I suppose, to what I might bring if I was another family lawyer. I think it's really useful for people to have choice around who they have that supervision with or reflective practice with. You know, we all bring ourselves to work. I think Gillian talked about this. It's impossible to separate the personal from professional. And I think it's really valuable to have somebody totally independent. And in my case, somebody from a totally different professional background as well to talk those things through with. You know, perhaps there are challenging cases or issues even with your colleagues within your team that it's really good to have somebody from outside to talk those through, to reflect on those. And I also know how high burnout is amongst family lawyers. So having the opportunity to go over those things is so valuable. You know, when you look at the cost of long-term sickness, how much it costs law firms to cater for those things, I think this can only be a really good thing. And then, of course, it's also another string to my bow. So running my own business, it's really good for me to have various offerings that I can offer within the kind of divorce arena. So I wanted to go for that.
I'm really pleased that we've got a variety of disciplines helping in family law supervision. If people are interested, it's important to just look at the website, which is the Association of Family Law Supervisors, and they'll see there all the people who've qualified, and there's a huge range and great choice. So thank you for that. So how do you find your work and how does it complement your other role?
Actually, I'm really enjoying it. It gives me a different insight into the world that family lawyers operate in. And I think that's actually really useful for my coaching work, to understand some of the stresses and strains that my clients' solicitors might be under. So it gives me a totally different perspective. You know, and I'm also very comfortable in the legal world as an ex-lawyer myself, although in a totally different area. And I'm really enjoying it. And it's really interesting how even within the same firm, people look at things very different. They have very different perspectives on things. And it's fascinating. So every session is different. It's always really interesting. And it gives me something else, you know, a break from doing divorce related work with my divorce clients as well. So it's a win-win, really.
So just thinking very specifically about younger lawyers, what would you like to see firms offering for young lawyers starting out by way of support?
I mean, obviously, what I'd really like firms to be offering is supervision, reflective practice as a matter of course for all of their lawyers, not just their young ones. But, you know, I think it's really important to see reflective practice as not just a crisis prevention tool, but as a normal part of working life and perhaps a, you know, a normal kind of benefit that firms would offer their lawyers who are coming through. And if we can make it the norm for these younger lawyers coming through, then by the time they are more senior and partners, it will just be so accepted that nobody really questions it anymore, I hope. So that's what I'd really like to see.
And what would your three top tips be for those young lawyers starting out in family law?
So I think the first one is to look for firms that do support well-being for their lawyers, not just in their words, but in their actions. So perhaps when you're interviewing and so on, you ask some really specific questions about what the firms offer in terms of well-being to support you as you enter into, you know, a long career, hopefully, in family law. Secondly, I think don't be afraid of reflective practice. Some junior lawyers perhaps are a little worried maybe about talking in this space, but it is safe, it is confidential, and it really can help progress your career because it helps you solidify what you do well. It helps you understand your own strengths. We can spend time celebrating what's gone really well as talking about some of the worries and concerns that you might have. And then thirdly, I think the big thing that comes up a lot in my supervision is around boundaries and setting clear boundaries around your time, around how you communicate with clients. You're helping people at a very vulnerable time, and it's really important to set those boundaries around your time and look after yourself. And I know lots of young lawyers find that really difficult to do. I know I found it really difficult to do when I was a young lawyer as well, when you've got targets and all of those things in the mix. So setting really good, healthy boundaries and looking after yourself, I think, is the third one.
I agree. There's so much going on probably at that time of your life as well. You might have a young family. You might have all juggling all sorts of things in terms of work life. And you obviously want to do your very best at work. But equally, it's really important to make sure that you achieve the work-life balance, the holy grail of trying to achieve that, which is, I think, what all of us are trying to do.
Yes, exactly. And, it's always tricky, isn't it? But those things, you know, setting those boundaries and being clear with them, it's something I've had to do as a business owner, very much so. You know, setting those boundaries in place and sticking to them and making sure that you put yourself first. Because if you're suffering, if your mental health is suffering, then you're not going to be able to help your clients to the best of your ability.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. Well, Claire, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. And I've learned a lot about you personally, but also about your roles. You've obviously got roles both as a divorce coach and supervisor. And I'm really grateful for you taking the time out today to talk to me. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you for listening to the Women in Family Law podcast. Our theme music is Low Tide by Sam Hare, found on Spotify. Please visit our website, womeninfamilylaw.net, or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WIFLAW, and follow, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.